The Holy Gospel is written in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning at the 33rd verse on page 55 in the Church Bibles. Mark 15, 33. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This is the Gospel of Christ. Lord, we pray, make the book live to us. Show us with clarity the truth of your holy word. Bring that truth, O Lord, with acceptance to our minds, hearts, and lives, and use it, we pray, for our comfort, consolation, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I wonder what you made of that phrase in the Hebrews reading that Ian read to us. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20, "By a new and living way which he opened for us through the curtain." What did you make of that? A new and living way which he opened for us through the curtain. When I heard that read here last Sunday, I thought, that's for Thursday. We'll have a look at that one. A new and living way through the curtain. And that's why I matched it to a gospel reading from Mark, which says, Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. That loud cry, John tells us, was the dramatic shout, "It is finished." Just one word in Greek, actually, three in English. "It is finished." And Mark tells us, "And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." So that's the veil that Hebrew talks about. Through the veil into the holy place, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, I want you, if you will, please, to come with me, in imagination, of course, to the temple as it was in the time of Jesus. From bits and bobs in the Bible, and from sources outside the Bible, particularly the historian Herodotus, we happen to know quite a lot about what that temple was like. So let's have a look at it. It was built on an artificial platform which I think is still there in Jerusalem. The top of Mount Moriah was built up, leaving a sort of crypt underneath, I suppose, but making a great platform on which this temple, which had been built by King Herod, the third temple on the site, and it was there in the time of Jesus. Jesus' opponents said to him, 46 years this temple was in building. Well, I suppose builders are always the same. Always take 46 years if you can. 46 years it took to build. It was an immense and hugely impressive structure. The actual temple itself was not all that big. It was a long, slender, and very tall building, at least 100 feet tall. But it was surrounded by courtyards. So we're going to pretend that we are worshippers going to that temple in Jerusalem, this long, narrow building, this very tall building, very beautiful building, covered over with gold leaf. Right. We enter through what was called the Golden Gate of the temple. It was actually bronze, but it was polished, and it was a huge edifice in its own right. Josephus says that when they opened or shut that gate, it took 20 men using their strength to open and shut that gate. And it gave way into a very busy courtyard, which was called the Courtyard of the Gentiles. Called by that name because anybody could go in there. It was a place of public concourse and meeting. That's where the people buying and selling animals and birds and the money changers were at work. That angered the Lord Jesus so, if you recall. It was a place of commerce, mainly commerce for the temple. But anybody could go in there. Now, along the far end of this courtyard of the Gentiles, there was a low wall. And every so often along that wall, there was a placard which said, "No man of another nation to enter within this fence and enclosure round the temple. Whoever is caught will have himself to blame that his death follows." You can't fault it for clarity, can you? You know exactly where you stand. Up a flight of steps to what was called the beautiful gate of the temple. When Peter and John were going up to the temple, do you remember there was a lame man laid daily at the beautiful gate? There he was on these steps begging. And through the beautiful gate, only the men and women who were Israelites could go. People like you and me, poor old Gentiles, we were left out. We could come into the first courtyard, but not the second. And the second courtyard was called the Courtyard of the Women, because, as you might say, even women could go in there. That's where Mary and Joseph went, bringing the baby Jesus, when they brought him to present him to the Lord. Do you recall? And from a flight of steps at the far end came that lovely old man Simeon to meet them and took the baby in his arms and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation." That was in the court of the women. And up came that unusual and marvelous old lady Anna, who spent her life in fastings and prayers, who had been married for 7 years and a widow for 84 years. Whatever age was she? Well, she was there, you see, it was the courtyard of the women. Up the next flight of steps, and you're in the courtyard of the sons of Israel. Not even Mary could go there. You had to be a man. Do you notice how the crowd is thinning out? Look back. The busy hubbub of the court of the Gentiles. All the buying and selling and the traders and the animals. People walking through to get somewhere else. Courtyard of the women, Mary and Joseph, other men and their wives. Courtyard of the sons of Israel, just the men. And from the courtyard of the men, the sons of Israel, they could look to the great temple building itself. And round it, the priests performing their business, the courtyard of the priests. So, Joseph can't go there. Old Zechariah, he went in there, father of John the Baptist, he was a priest. And they were busy there because there was the great altar of burnt offering which had to be tended constantly, the fire that never went out, and the morning and evening sacrifices. They were busy there in the courtyard of the priests, and the courtyard of the priests actually surrounded the temple building, but nobody could go in. It says concerning Zechariah that when he was on duty that time, that it was his lot to burn incense going into the temple of the Lord. He'd probably never been there before in his life, that old man. And that one occasion, the lot fell out in his favor and he could go into the temple itself. Can you imagine the awe and the trembling with which you would go into a building where you'd never been before? And he went into this long, narrow building. Just one man. Well, the crowd has thinned out now, hasn't it? Just this one man. And goes in, old Zechariah, to put fresh incense on the incense altar and to light it. And there it is, up at the end of this long building. He doesn't know he's going to see an angel when he gets there, but as far as our story is concerned, that's by the way. He goes along the length of this long building to the golden altar of incense, a very beautiful altar there, to tidy it up, to put fresh incense on, to make sure that the cloud of incense is constantly rising, the prayers and worship of God's people rising into his presence. And the altar of incense is standing against this great curtain. And the curtain fell the full 100 feet of the height of the temple. And Josephus, the Jewish historian, said that it was woven to an inch thick. But he's a bit of an exaggerator. But it was substantial. And there it was. You're going to go in there, Zechariah? No. No one goes in there. That's where God is. This is his house. He lives in it. That's the place of his presence. Nobody goes in there. So from the court of the Gentiles with its hubbub,
Mary and Joseph and other married couples, Joseph alone and the men, only the priests, the one priest on duty, nobody at all. The temple in the time of Jesus was a system of separation. God was there, but you couldn't go visiting. Why? Well, if we penetrated beyond that curtain, we wouldn't have found what you would find in heathen temples, some great awe-inspiring image of the god. In its heyday, when it was in full operation, all we would have found in there was a golden box, which they called the Ark. And in the box, there was nothing but the Ten Commandments. Two tables of stone. That's why nobody could go in there. The Ten Commandments were the passport. And unless you'd kept every one of those commandments without breaking it, right from the beginning of your life and never varied and never faltered, you can't go in there. You don't hold the passport. And God dwells alone. And everybody else is counted unholy and a sinner. Have you got the picture clearly in your mind? A bit fascinating, isn't it? Very telling. And you've got to remember that that temple was built by Herod, but it was designed by God. Yes? Because it goes right back to Moses and the tabernacle in the wilderness, which was essentially the same shape and pattern. And God said to Moses, you must make everything according to the pattern you saw when you were with me on the mountain. God designed the pattern, gave it to Moses, and Herod copied it. God is telling us, oh dear ones, he's telling us that we're not fit for his presence. That we haven't got the passport. We haven't kept his commandments. We have fallen short of his holy law. And he dwells alone because nobody is fit to go in. Now, the very moment that Jesus died, that's what Mark tells us more vividly than any of the other Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the veil of the temple. Mark is the most dramatic. On the cross, Jesus cried, "It is finished!" And bowed his head and voluntarily yielded up his life in death. And God leant down from heaven and ripped the curtain apart. The death of Jesus is our passport. He has borne our sins in his body on the cross. There is no longer any barrier to coming into the presence of God. And we come in, says Hebrews, as it were, through that veil. But that veil stands for the torn body of the Lord Jesus. The veil was woven in blue and purple and scarlet and pure white linen. It represented in its blue someone of heavenly origin. In its purple, one of royal dignity, in its scarlet, one who shed his blood, and in its whiteness, one of impeccable purity, Jesus. And out there on the cross, he bore our sins in his body on the tree. Out there on the cross, he made a claim. It is finished. And in there in the temple, God said, yes, it is. And opened the way for us to come into his presence. We have the passport.